when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. And this is the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We want to greet each and every one of you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ for being with us today. This broadcast is sponsored by the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. And I am Pastor N.R. Davis. And we want to thank each and every one of you that have tuned in today. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. And this is our third program on our discussion about the spiritual condition of the church. We're talking about that last church that Jesus spoke to, the Laodicean church. I have with me today Brother Rick DeRocher, who is from the Deliverance Bible Institute in Portland, Maine. He's been a Bible teacher, pastor, evangelist, missionary for over 20 to 25 years. He's been doing the work of the Lord, and we want to thank him for being with us today once again. And also we have with us Brother Israel Ochoa, evangelist Israel Ochoa. I call him brother because he's a good friend of mine and a brother in the Lord, but evangelist Israel Ochoa, who's been preaching the gospel around the United States for over 20 years as an evangelist, preaching in many churches across this nation and also into several countries around the world. And we want to thank evangelist Israel Ochoa for being with us today. And we're going to get into this discussion. If you're just tuning in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester. And we're going to talk to you today and continue our discussion. This is the third part of our discussion, the third broadcast we're doing in regards to the spiritual condition of this Laodicean church age, the church age in which you and I live in today. Jesus spoke to this Laodicean church out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm," this is the spiritual condition. This is the spiritual climate of the church, lukewarmness. "I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am increased with goods and have need of nothing." This is the church speaking of their physical wealth, their materialistic wealth. And if there's ever been a day and age that we live in today in the church where so much emphasis is put on material gain, the prosperity preachers of our day preach the wealth and health and all of your riches and all of your prosperity gospels. He's dealing with this here, speaking, saying, "Because thou sayest thou art rich and increased with goods." He says, "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" This is the condition of the church. He said, "You're miserable, you're poor, you're blind and naked." Isn't it something, such a drastic contrast, how that this Laodicean church age looks at themselves saying, "We're rich, we're increased with goods, we have our big church buildings, we have our big stadiums full of people, you've got your big religious organizations today that fill up church stadiums, and they got thousands of people filling up coliseums today." And the masses does not necessarily mean that they are spiritually in alignment in the way that God says they need to be. He says, you're miserable. You say you're rich and increased with goods, but I say you're miserable. And this is what we're going to be dealing with today. This is our third discussion. And I have with me once again, Brother Rick DeRosier, with us from the Deliverance Bible Institute in Portland, Maine. And we're also going to be having some questions for Evangelist Israel Ochoa. I'm going to be bringing these brothers into the discussion here within the next few minutes. But I want to address one key point in this text today. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me, in verse 18, gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. My God, help us to have eyes to see in this day of darkness that we live in. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. He says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, verse 20 is what we want to focus on today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That is Jesus desiring to have fellowship with you, intimacy with you. He's looking to reach out, come into you. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock, and I want to sup with you. He says, if you will open the door when I knock, when you hear my voice, open that door of your heart and I will come in to you and I will sup with you. That intimate relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ is desiring to have with us. We're going to bring in Brother Rick DeRosier once again. When I think of you talking about men standing up behind the pulpit and rebuking and reproving and exhorting the church, we know that that is not taking place on a very large level. Matter of fact, you never hear some preachers ever even tell their people that they must repent of their sins. When I think of the preachers of the gospel, my heart gets stirred when I think of the greatest preacher in the Bible, Brother Rick, and that is John the Baptist. Jesus said there'll never be another like him. His message was one message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If there's ever been a need in this day and hour for men to stand up with boldness and preach the uncompromised word of God without fear or favor behind their pulpits, verse 19 of our text, he says here, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Brother DeRosier, I want to simply ask you to comment on this. The fact is without true repentance, a godly sorrow. You and I have seen, and we have all seen, many good preachers preach anointed sermons. But the fact is that there's never a response like we want to see in the hearts of people, because many of the people's hearts are so cold and hardened towards the word. And without true godly sorrow that works true repentance, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, we're not going to see true revival in this nation and in our churches, Brother DeRosier. And I would just want you to make some comments on what we need to do as all of us here, ministers of the gospel, preachers of the gospel. It is our obligation, it's our responsibility to continue to preach this message uncompromised, just like John the Baptist. Repent, because Jesus is coming. Would you not say that is the message that needs to be preached to this Laodicean church age, brother?
Amen. The word repent means to turn around, to totally change direction. It's not just a feeling sorry. It's a turning around, to turn from sin to God. It involves a choice of the will. Malachi, the last prophet, ended the Old Testament with a message of repentance. There were 400 years of silence between the testaments. John the Baptist comes on the scene, and the message has not changed. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist was a forerunner of the Christ, preparing the way of the Lord. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That is, make a choice to choose God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But we must continue to choose to serve God. God does not force a man to serve him against his will. And repentance involves a choice to turn from sin, to allow God to work in us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But yet man must make a choice. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and he cries, "If any man hear my voice." He addresses the individual because the whole church is not listening. The whole church will not respond, but he cries to the individual, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup fellowship with him and he with me." Jesus is crying to the people of the church today to respond to him and let him come in and do a work that cannot be done by the hands of a man.
Thank you, Brother DeRosa. And now this next question is going to be directed towards Brother Ochoa. We're going down to verse 20, where Brother Rick touched on briefly, where the Lord said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That is the Lord knocking at the heart's door of individuals, wanting to come in, wanting to fellowship. And he says, "If any man hear my voice," once again, him knocking, him pleading, him reaching out, Brother Ochoa. We know that God is long-suffering. He's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I have a sense within the depths of my soul, Brother Ochoa, when will God finally say enough? We see him knocking at the door, knocking at the door. I don't know about you, but if I go to somebody's house and I begin to knock at the door and there's no response and I knock harder and there's nobody coming to the door to open it to let me in, how long will God continue to knock at the Laodicean church age's door of the hearts of men and women? We know that many people's hearts, they have to be open. We've got to open, he said. He says, "I will come into them." If you open the door, that is, open up your heart. Brother Ochoa, wouldn't you say that because iniquity is abounding, many people's hearts are cold, they're deceived through the deceitfulness of sin, they're hard-hearted. And once again, brother, if you could just make a plea with the people that they need to open up their hearts to receive the engrafted word of God and receive what God is trying to do, which is reach out to them, and he wants to minister to them.
As I look at this verse, I think we need to backtrack just a little bit to how John was shown this vision. The Bible said that he saw seven golden candlesticks, and Jesus was walking in the midst of them. Then he said, "Let me show you the mystery of the seven stars which I hold in my right hand and the mystery of the candlesticks." He said, "They are my churches." Then he begins to unfold the judgments and the rewards and all the things that he deals with. When he comes to Laodicea, I find that it is very disturbing because this is the only church that Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It's as if he's there, but he has not entered into an intimate relationship with them. And that is his cry: "If you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you." It is an individual choice. Whenever revival comes to sweep a nation or sweep a church or sweep the heart of his believers, it happens because someone feels the personal pull to have intimate relationship with God. I like what Gypsy Smith said, the old circuit riding preacher. He said, "When I want a revival," he said, "I get down on my knees and I draw a box around myself and I say, 'Oh God, let revival start in this box.'" This is the cry of God. He's knocking at the door of individual hearts. I realize that there's going to be many different people listening to this broadcast. Some that will agree with us and say, "Amen, keep on, preachers." Then there'll be some that say, "Man, those guys are crazy. They're way off base. Let me go to my prophecy conference and let me sow my seed and let me, you know, do all these things that are modern day charismatic vernacular. Let me go my own merry way." But I believe there's also going to be some that are sitting on the fence that say, "I feel the pulling of God's Spirit." What that is, it's Jesus standing at the door and knocking. Now, Brother Davis, you asked me a question. You said, "How long will God God stand at the door and knock? I believe that that is very difficult to know. We can lean on the goodness and the grace of God, but we must also understand that God has severity and judgment. How long will God knock? How long will you feel the pull of God's Spirit? Are you willing to take the risk that it will be another year, that it will be 10 years or 20 years? It may be 30 years. He may pull on you all the way till your deathbed and knock on the door seeking that relationship. But friend, he also could say, today is the last day that I'm going to knock. Today is the last day that I'm going to draw you. I'm going to allow you to remain in that lukewarm state. And when the time of judgment comes, I will spew you out of my mouth. I would urge every listener today to examine your heart. It is not enough to say, I am a Christian. It is not enough to have your name written down in a membership book at the church. It's not enough to worship in the worship band. It's not enough that you teach a Sunday school class. What I would ask you is, when is the last time in a private place of prayer that you have felt a passion for God burn and ignite in your heart? When is the last time that you opened his word and as you were reading, the Spirit of God took a scripture or a phrase of a scripture or a passage and pierced your heart and said, this is you. These are the marks of an intimate relationship. If you do not have these things, if your prayer life is not fervent, if you don't feel the drawing of the Spirit of God, and I urge you to listen, because there is someone standing at the door and knocking. This is not the Amway salesman. This is not the pizza delivery boy. This is not the newspaper boy. This is the Son of God. And he is saying, if you will open, he has made a promise, if you will open, I will come in. Amen. You can say, I got a million reasons why it won't work. If you will open, I will come in. He said, doesn't matter. Let's put the obstacle in front of me. If you're willing to open the door, I will conquer every obstacle. I will come in. And when I come in, I'm not coming just to sit. I'm going to come and I'm going to break bread. Oh, what an intimate thought. We're going to sup together. I'll sup with you and you will sup with me. Answer the door as Jesus knocks today.
Thank you, Brother Ochoa. And as we begin to close this broadcast, we're going to allow Brother DeRosha and Brother Israel to make their last comments on this Bible discussion about the Laodicean church. And Brother DeRosha, once again, we want to give you a few couple minutes here, brother, to give your last and closing thoughts to the people and all that are listening. We want to let you know we want to encourage you. We're preachers of the gospel, and we feel a sense of urgency. And we know that the day and the time that we are living, the Bible says they're perilous times. And these are not only physically in the natural dangerous times, but spiritually. This is not a time to be playing games with God. If God is dealing with you, you need to open up your heart to receive God. And he wants to come in, like Brother Ochoa said, and sup with you. What a great privilege. What a great honor to have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother DeRosher, I want to give you your closing comments, brother.
We've been dealing with this Laodicean church, period. Laodicea means rule by the people. Jesus describes perfectly this last day church that says they're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now notice Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. When I go home to my house, I don't knock on the door. I just walk in. When you go home to your house, you don't knock on the door because it's your place. It's where you belong. It's where you go. But Jesus is knocking at the door because he's been pushed out of the church. And he's crying to the individual, if any man hear my voice. He's not forcing himself. He's crying. He's beckoning. He's asking. He wants to come in. He wants to do a work. He wants to fellowship. He wants to help you to overcome. And he ends with the message, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All of us have ears to hear physically, but to hear in the realm of the Spirit, to hear the voice of the Master, to know the Word of God. God will speak to you through His Word. We must be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves.
And Brother Ochoa, as we close this Bible discussion out about the Laodicean church, he says down here, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." There are some that will overcome, I believe. Jesus says, as I have overcome, we also can be overcomers, but it's through him, not any power that we have or ability that we have, but we can be overcomers. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we look at the time that we're living, Brother Ochoa, and you know, I know as ministers, we all know that Jesus is coming soon. And brother, as we give you the last word today, I'd like you to just speak from your heart to those that are listening on the radio today. Encourage them, my brother, or whatever God leads you to say in your last closing comments, to come to know and receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has for them.
I want to say that it's been wonderful to be here with you and appreciate you tuning in to listen. I want to point our attention to the fact that we look at this Laodicean church, that it is often discouraging to realize the hour that we are in. And yet I see through the pages of the Scripture that there are two parallel thoughts that are presented to us in the Scripture. One, this fact that the love of many is going to wax cold because iniquity abounds. We see the fact that there is going to be a great falling away. The mystery of iniquity is already working among us to pull men away from what they know is true and right. And yet Joel said that in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I believe that there is a choice that you can make. You can choose to be a part of this church that is lukewarm, or you can choose to be a part of the church that is having a Holy Ghost outpouring. Notice what he said, to him that overcometh. He wouldn't have given us the fact that we could overcome if it was not available to us, if the strength and the power to overcome was not made available to us. So I encourage you in this last day, take stock of your own life. We did not do this broadcast so that you would examine your church, although I believe if you examine your heart, that you will examine your church. But we did it so that in the privacy of your own life, you could say, I am burning with a fervent passion for the things of Christ, or I am cold. Or you may have to say, like this Laodicean church, you know, I'm not cold, but neither am I hot. I am lukewarm. There is only one answer for the lukewarmness to be cured. That is to open the door to the knocking Christ and say, come in, O God, I'm ready to overcome. I'm ready to sit up on the throne with you. I choose to not be a part of this Laodicean church.
As we begin to close this broadcast, we want to thank all of you that have tuned in today. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis. This is once again the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. And we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. And we want to thank all of you that have tuned in today to listen. Now you can contact us. We're at AbidingLightChurch.com. That is the AbidingLightChurch.com. You can leave us any comments in regards to this broadcast. Any questions, any comments, we invite you to go and drop us an email there. You can email us at AbidingLightChurch@yahoo.com. AbidingLightChurch@yahoo.com. We can also get us on the Facebook at AbidingLightPentecostalChurch.com. We're here preaching the old-time fashioned gospel. We don't have a lot of programs and a lot of things going on that will tickle the ears of people, but we're here preaching the old-time gospel of Jesus Christ. We'd like to invite you out if you're listening in the Manchester area, any of the surrounding towns, and you don't have a place to fellowship. I want to personally invite you. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and if you want to hear the Word of God preached, you come to be with us here at 417 Granite Street. That is in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're a multicultural church. We have many different walks of life that come here. We have around 8 to 9 different nationalities. that come to our church. We have people from Africa, the Caribbean Islands. We have them from Jamaica. We have, obviously, Americans. We have Spanish people. We have Puerto Ricans. We are a multicultural church, and we'd like to invite you out to come and fellowship with us. The Bible says, how good is it, in Psalm 133, for brethren to dwell together in unity? It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter where you're from. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'd like to invite you out to come and have church with us over here at the Abiding Light Church at 417 Granite Street. Come out if you'd like and have some fellowship and be with us in the house of the Lord. Our services are at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. We want to greet each and every one of you once and again in the name of the Lord. Until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis with the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.